Hey everybody, and welcome into A View From My Window. I'm Michelle Fisher. As always, we thank you so much for joining us today. I am so pleased and thrilled today to talk with Laura LeBlanc of the PBS News show Need to Know. Now, Laura is a HealthBeat producer, and she's been talking with Hoosier Families and the Arc of Indiana for a story that will focus on the crisis in services as children with developmental disabilities transition into adult services. The show will air this Friday evening, January 21st. Of 2011. We are so pleased to have Laura LeBlanc with us today. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
How are you?
Good.
I am so thrilled to be interviewing you about this show because this topic is really close to the heart of many families who have people with disabilities. So let you talk a little bit about how this story developed and how you came to really talk with people in Indiana about it.
We were looking at doing a story on adults with autism. We feel like it's a subject that most people focus on children with autism, but there's not a lot of discussion, certainly in the media, about what happens as people with autism age and what kind of services are available. And I had started researching that story, and we saw the AP story on families in Indiana feeling like they'd been referred to a homeless shelter or saying that they'd been referred to homeless shelters when they didn't know what to do with their kids with disabilities. And so that led us to take a look at Indiana, which is an interesting state given that in a lot of ways Indiana has done very well, but they're feeling the same kind of budget crunch that states are feeling all over the country. So that's that story that brought us to look at Indiana. And then, of course, talking to the Hoosier Families, there's just so many compelling stories of what people with a family member who has disabilities deal with on a day-to-day basis, what they struggle with, that I think the general population does not know. And I really felt that these families, talking to them over the phone and then meeting them in person, that they would give us a window on that.
How do you think then, because these stories are so compelling, what do you hope that viewers will learn from watching this show then?
What I'm hoping viewers, first of all, viewers who don't have a child, brother, or sister with developmental disabilities, I want them to see a little bit of what people go through,
sure,
what they struggle through in the best of circumstances in terms of getting services, because I think this is really something that people who don't experience this in their own family don't really have a connection with, it don't really understand. I think there's a misperception that if you have a disability, you get services, that you get services from the state, that transitioning to an adulthood there's no change there. I don't think people understand that services as a child through the educational system are an entitlement and services as an adult are not. I also don't think that people understand the changes in terms of the community setting. I'm hoping that people who aren't connected with it directly, mm-hmm, will see what struggles families have and go through. In this age of cut, 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 I think taxpayers need to know what their money is going for, and when people are talking about cuts, who's affected.
Right, and it really does affect their quality of life, don't you think?
Yeah. Yes. We're looking at several families, and the thing is, it's not just a question of funding, it's also a question of choice and appropriateness of services. For example, Sabrina, one of the people we profile transitioning into adulthood, the options so far that her mother has been offered, because she hasn't been able to get a waiver, there's that long waiver waiting list, have been in a group home with people who can't manage the most, have trouble managing the most basic tasks, whereas Sabrina is in many ways like a normal 18-year-old, like a typical 18-year-old, I should say. And for her, it would be a major quality of life issue if she had to live in a group home with people who were nonverbal, who couldn't feed themselves or bathe themselves, who were much older than she. It would almost harken back to institutionalization, mm-hmm, in her case, for such a misfit placement. And her mother is struggling to get the placement that's suited for her, but it is a struggle.
Is there anything that you were surprised to learn yourself when you were doing the research, and that the viewers will be surprised to learn as well?
I was surprised to experience what a house of cards families feel like they're often dealing with, that like that every card has to be in place. And this, we're talking now with families with children who have disabilities that are more severe, where, you know, if this residence changes or if this work program changes, then they're faced with, okay, now I can't afford to, you know, I don't have anything for my child to do during that period of time. I may have to quit my job. That one little thing changes, and it's like the whole house of cards falls. And I am inspired by how much families fight for these services and fight to keep this house of cards whole.
Right.
The other thing is, and this I wasn't surprised to learn, and I do want to emphasize, is I don't think this is not a story of, there's not a villain here. There's nobody with a black hat saying these people shouldn't have services.
Right.
I think it's what we always struggle with is a limited resource, which is money,
right,
and how we spend it. And because this is a group of people that a lot of people have no direct experience with, I want people to know them. I want people to meet these families and know them so that they can know what some of their tax dollars are going for.
Well, and that's important because a lot of these families, they need these services for their family members to live the life that they want.
The other thing that really interested me is how much families talk about quality of life issue. I think outside, you can think, well, you know, the state's offering this group home. That should be, why isn't that good? Why, it, you know, it's there. They're funding it for you. They're paying for you. I have to make sacrifices. And this idea of a quality of life and that people with disabilities can have as much a quality of life as people without disabilities. I think that's something that if you don't have a disability or aren't close with somebody who has a disability, you may not realize that we are learning that how to provide services to vastly improve quality of life issues.
Right.
And that to the families and to the people with disabilities, these quality of life issues are extremely important.
Is the result of these stories being told the fact that you want people's perspective to change and you want them to be kind of in their shoes, in these families' shoes?
Yes. I definitely want my viewers to walk a mile in the shoes of these families. And more than anything, I hope that's what the piece does.
Is there anything else my listeners need to know then about the upcoming story or this topic that's so important?
I'm sure your listeners are a special, you know, a particular audience, and that they are familiar. And there may not be as many surprises for them as there are for other people, because your listeners, probably many of them will relate to the struggles. And I think what I hope your listeners take away is that in some cases it may almost seem like an invasion of privacy, that we're dealing with really tough personal emotional stories here. But I hope that your listeners, being among this particular audience, will understand the need and feel that we've handled it with the appropriate sensitivity to bring these stories to a wider audience.
Well, you know what? I want to thank you, Laura, and I have to thank the whole team at PBS too for doing this story and not forgetting the struggles that that these families go through every day and giving their children the life that they want and deserve through these services. I want to congratulate you, and I have to say that you have many friends here in Indiana that congratulate you as well.
Well, thank you. I don't think I don't feel I need to be congratulated. I'll feel good when things improve for each of these families. I'll if this helps anybody, and if this helps one of these families, that will be more reward than anything else I need.
What a reward. Thank you so much, Laura LeBlanc from PBS.
All right.
Need to Know. Thank you.
Thank you.
The show will be available for viewing on Need to Know's website following the broadcast. You can go to pbs.org or just Google Need to Know to check your local schedule. Thanks as always for listening, everybody. Have a great day. Bye-bye.